The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Thank goodness you sing it.
Scout.
Hi, babe.
You're waiting
still
for post.
Still here. Same apartment, our apartment, the hotel, still here.
What are those things behind you? There's boxes of something. They look like Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, they're my Power Crunch bars.
Oh.
Yeah. So for when, well, by the time this episode airs, I will already be in Thailand. But yeah, they're for Thailand. So I can have protein bars. While I'm doing stunt fighting.
So you brought all, how much stuff did you bring there with you to then go to Thailand? And what's the weather in Thailand going to be like?
Apparently that's hot all you brought? As shit. Apparently it's hot. Yeah, but Thailand, because things are cheaper, I will probably buy things. So I'll probably have to get another suitcase that's small. But I'm just not exactly sure what to prepare for. So I've gotten... I don't know. This is like really bad. Whenever I'm on a set and I know that I have like a long time, Amazon becomes my best friend. Like it's never existed. And I've ordered so much shit. I ordered a roller.
Yeah, I travel. Ooh, look at you.
I know.
I travel
look at
with
that.
One, but that's a collapsible one. That's dope.
I know, but I can't figure out how to like make it stay so it doesn't collapse.
Oh, shit. Do you, what so about I'm if like- you twist it? Open and twist. Can you twist and lock it?
Oh, that's what I've been like doing.
No?
Been doing it in my room. I have to figure it out.
Maybe it's broken.
Great. That, and then I have like this pulsing thing for my hip injury.
For your
vagina? I found this chiropractor on Tickety Tickety Tock Tock. And she's in Orlando. And I'm thinking about going to see her when we are out in Orlando.
Okay.
She like fucking fixes injuries. Like she's so good.
You find the craziest people.
I know, man. I know. Friday I have a facial. I'm so excited with this company Ombre. And then the following
week, why don't you ask a sister if she wants to go with you?
Okay, well, I'll set some shit up for us in Orlando.
Well, I'm going to Disney. That's the most important thing for me. I'm taking the kids to Disney on Thursday.
The Thursday before?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'll go with you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with you. I thought you guys were going the week after.
No, because the week after, the boys want to be home for Halloween. So they can go trick-or-treating and all of that stuff.
Oh, my God. So I just introduced Peter, which Peter is one of our convention gurus. And I just got Peter a new client.
Oh.
A girlfriend, Katie, that I'm working with right now on this project. And I was like, she's from Annabelle. I was like, okay. I've never really seen like anybody from Annabelle like at cons.
Hmm.
And I was like, you should come. And so I'm trying to get her into Spooky. And so if she gets into Spooky, we want to do Universal and Disney. But I'm definitely, okay, I'm planning that. I'm going with you guys on Thursday.
I love it.
But any time that you have off, we'll figure out to go get some.
Let's do it.
My friend
and awesome patron, Maria. Maria, Maria.
Maria.
She works at Disney. So she is going to help
do a hookup?
Escort through. We still get tickets, buy tickets and all that stuff. But
yeah.
She will be our like cool. Hands-on guide to like helping us sort of get, you know, get through. Because we'll have quite a few children. It'll be my kids, hopefully my goddaughter. And then our friend Ray's kid, like he's got, there's three kids there. So there might be a lot of children.
Oh, maybe I won't go on Thursday. I'm just kidding. You're like, Scout. Yeah, Scout's here.
They're all pretty much like almost teenagers with the exception of my kids.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
I'm excited. I'm actually going to get on and by the time this episode is out, obviously, we'll already be getting ready to be heading down there. But if you haven't gotten tickets for our live yet, people, we are going to be doing our live at Spooky Empire. Mm-hmm. I believe we are, the site will be up starting October 1st. So by then, everybody hopefully will have their tickets. It's going to be, I believe, on Saturday between after the show ends before the VIP party. And it will be us recording our 100th episode. And we're going to have some fun stuff and treats. And it's going to be a nice little party.
I was looking at the guests for Spooky. Who's who's coming to Spooky? I get it. Well, also Scarefest, guys, too. The ticket sales are already up, but apparently we've sold a bunch.
I'm so excited.
So I think we're almost sold out of that show. So please buy your tickets. I know Spencer's going to be at that one, and I was trying to talk to him. I was like, "That's Spencer." But my buddy Jack Osborne's going to be at that show.
Awesome.
So maybe I'll talk to Jack and I'll see if maybe. Maybe you'd want to come. He does ghost hunting. We'll be like, we'll just talk about the ghost hunting.
Sure. He sounds like he's down. He likes all kinds of creepy weird shit.
So I wonder, because I know, you know, he's married now and he's got the kiddos and stuff. So, you know, I'm not sure if they want to talk. You know who's going to be at Spooky, who I'm really, really excited to meet, is Andy from the girl from the new Halloween movies.
Oh.
Who plays the granddaughter? Yes, granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
She's going to be there.
So that's right, because you're not going to see her at the 45th. No. If she's there. I don't even know if she's going to be there.
Yeah. Who is going to be there?
Obviously, this is after that.
It was so fun.
I have no idea, but I'll let you know all about it on our next episode that airs after, because it's coming up next week, right?
I know.
From when we're recording this.
Kane's going to be there. Rose McGowan. Maybe we can ask Rose.
Oh, God.
Hey, Rose.
Oh, God. I'm not smart enough to sit down with her.
Really?
No, with all the, like, no. I don't know enough about her life and what's, I mean, I know enough, but I don't know enough about what's been going on with, you know.
Oh, yeah. But we won't talk about that. We're going to talk about sex and love.
The most important stuff that we should be talking about with her. So.
Yeah, true. And then Heather. Maybe Heather.
Yes.
I wonder if Heather would be too shy to be on.
No,
Heather is filming. She's filming 2 days on this, Saturday and Sunday. That's how you do it, man.
Oh man,
you come in and you come out.
She's there,
and it's both night shoots. So I was like, she's probably not. But I will talk to her about the podcast, and she obviously knows you really well. And I'll just be like, so there's Spooky Empire coming up. Do you want to freak the fuck? Could you please come on
for our 100th
episode? Come on, they've got to do it. Should we not do one at Scarefest either? Should we not do it? Like, why are we not doing a Scarefest?
We should. Let's look and see who's on there.
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll do a Scarefest and a Spooky. So Scarefest will be our 99.
I love how we just, like, have these conversations of, like, what we're going to do while we're on our show. Like, this is literally how our brains work, you guys.
Sorry, guys. So, oh, and Holly's going to be there. Oh, we can definitely get Holly
on the show.
Oh,
yeah. She'd be so fun. Did you go on hers yet? On her podcast for
No. But she, like, likes all my stuff. So I'm always like, oh, Holly.
Holly's from Charm, who don't know. Charm, everybody here knows who. There's only one Holly when we're talking about Holly in our world.
Yes. I mean, but there's so many good guests at both of these cons that I feel like both of us can work our magic and figure out to get someone to come in, even if it's like 10 minutes. Pop on, pop off. Pop on, pop off.
So when we record at Scarefest,
we should record one for
that's
you
gonna
all.
That's going to be the 99th episode. We could actually have that be our 99th episode.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so that's kind of a big deal. So Scarefest is our 99th episode and Spooky is our 100th episode.
Wow, okay. I'm excited.
Yeah. I love that you and I are still friends. You know, it's funny. It's not funny, but I've been reading some of the comments from the last couple of episodes that we've had. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we'll get more once we, you know, have aired the one that's going to be on before this one too. People have said, like, they've never seen us disagree as much as you and I have in the last, like, few episodes. They're like, I've never seen you guys disagree so much. Like, it was pretty interesting to watch us have, like, a real conversation about stuff that we felt differently about, because we haven't really explored that kind of stuff yet with each other.
Oh, interesting.
I didn't even see it as, like, disagreeing.
Yeah, I never saw – I guess I didn't see it as disagreeing either. I guess it was just we both had different experiences with a topic. I think
right.
It wasn't disagreeing. It was like, well, I'm coming from this side, you're coming from that side. So I don't think it was disagreeing. It was just like a different outlook on the subject. That makes sense.
We got a lot of like really interesting, we got a lot of really beautiful emails, by the way. Wait, cool. First of all, I just need to start it off on a lighter topic. It's okay. It's not lighter, but it's funny, but it's not funny. So I told you last episode that I had some pretty like awesome experiences and connections with people at the show that came up at TerrorCon talking about how we've encouraged them to be okay with being a virgin at, you know, in their 20s and in their 30s, women. And and I also had people ask like, what's the craziest thing someone's ever come up and said to you at a convention? Mm-hmm. Like, you've gotten that before, right?
Yeah.
Do you have like a specific story about someone that came up and said something to you that like sticks out? Because I'm always sort of going like, well, there's a bunch of kind of ones that like could be really crazy, but it's all kind of pretty normal with the occasional like, that was a weird comment or whatever. But I for sure
got a couple.
The oddest comment at this show.
What was it?
The boy was so sweet, but yet so like not knowing that maybe it was inappropriate to sort of have that conversation.
Yeah, of course it's inappropriate.
I wrote it down because I had to be like specific with how he said it, exactly how he said it.
Oh my God, he's listening to this right now going, please, it wasn't mine. Please, it wasn't mine. Please, it wasn't mine. Please, it wasn't mine.
I'm not trying to out him to be like embarrass him or anything, but you know, it is one of those things because people say like we don't know how to act at conventions. We don't know like what to say or like there's no like guidebook on like what's cool, what's not cool. Like, can I hug you? Can I not hug you? Can I take a bit? Like, you know, it's I guess a little bit confusing. Mm-hmm. So he came up. Actually, I don't even need to read it because I fucking have it memorized. He came up and he said,
girl.
He said, I listened to your show. I'm a patron. I'm sorry, I'm not a patron. I had to get off for a little bit, but I like that you guys talk a lot about sex. And can I tell you something about sex? And you know, you have that moment where you're like, and so I was like, well, I mean, sure, it depends. Yeah. You know, you can try, like you could, sure, you know, go for it. And he says, so I got these new comfy pants that are Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like jog, like pajama pants. Mm-hmm. And when I'm wanking it, it looks like I'm choking Leatherface between my legs.
So. He said that to you? Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, it does. Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
I was like, oh my God. That's
what did you respond? Good job.
I was just like, awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I was sitting next to like Peter and Spencer who were bright red and just like shaking their head looking down. All the men that heard him around were like,
I love how all the men don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do.
They would never know what to do. Never.
It was the first time that I probably couldn't make eye contact with a fan for a minute. Yeah. Just of like, you know, and then, you know, security had come over later saying like, are everything okay? Do you, is he bothering you? Whatever. And I was like, listen, he's not bothering me right now. You know, is it inappropriate to say something like that to someone that you don't know? Yeah, it's inappropriate. But I don't think he means any harm by it. My show is about sex. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We're all good. Yeah. Let him enjoy his time. And I guess he was just, you know, they were just seeing sometimes, you know, they watch because sometimes there's like some people that sort of test the waters a little bit on a Friday to see if their boundaries are not, you know, with a celebrity or their, you know, their person. And then if they are there all weekend, then sometimes things could shift into not understanding that there's that.
Yeah.
There should be that little bit of space.
Yeah. I mean, obviously like boundaries and like common sense, I feel like, I mean, our topics that we talk about on here we're pretty open. So I'm sure it also like, you know, makes people feel like, oh, I can fucking tell them anything because, you know, a lot of people are saying like, we feel like we're just hanging out with you.
Yeah.
So when they do see us, they're like, oh, it's like we've been talking for a year now. And now, right. You know, it feels like that.
I do love when the women come up, because the women come up and they're like, I listened to your show. I fucking love it. Or like, I've learned so much. Or yeah. I totally agree with you. Or I feel like that. Or I tried that on my man, or like whatever, you know. And then the men usually are like, take a few minutes. And then they're like, I love you on your show. And like, they're a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because we're so open about stuff. Or they come up and they want to have a conversation about how, you know, they feel like we're their sisters. Actually, speaking of, we got an email just today, actually.
First off, I wonder if anybody out there, like for us, like dealing with when we do come across someone that's like says something that's like a little inappropriate. I mean, my thing is like laugh it off. Like what can you do? What can we do? I'm curious as to what you guys say. Like, what can we do to be like, maybe that's not the best thing to say, or you know, like, because those things are all the time. Like, some person was like asking me advice. She was like, you know, I heard about like the butt plug thing. You know, she was like trying to say it really silent, and some guy like said something, was like, so scowl if she fucking loves that shit or loves it in the ass or some shit like that. I'm like, who? How?
How is that okay?
You can say that and I can't say anything back because I don't want to ruin this experience, but like also like,
right,
can't, you shouldn't say that to a woman at all, ever, anyone.
It's uncomfortable, man or woman, for you, and I'm sure it's uncomfortable for the woman that he was referring to.
Yeah.
Do you think it's alcohol? Do you think it's like liquid courage that gets them to say that stuff, where they think, I mean, I'm sure afterwards they're like, oh God, I can't believe I said that.
But I also think it's the encouragement of like listening to our podcast so much and like how open we are and like feeling like we're in their home, you know,
right,
like,
right.
So I think maybe, because I've never noticed it until we started this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
And now people say a lot more, things, and like I said, more forwardness, which I think there just still needs to be a boundary and common sense when it comes to things. We obviously don't mind answering your guys' questions and helping you guys out and hearing your feedback, but when it's like that sort of stuff, it's just a little too much.
We're still girls and still
we're still girls. A little
bit uncomfortable.
So what were you going to share about some sisters?
A couple of emails. So this is from my friend Tim. Hey, Danielle and Scout, it's Tim again. So I just finished up the new episode after a busy 2 days of work and I needed this. So the reason I'm emailing is because you ladies brought up friends that have become like family. So I have friends who have been a big part of my life that have been like family for 3 to 5 years now. My best friend is like my adopted big sister. She honestly is a better sibling sometimes to me than my own brother. Danielle, honestly, getting to know you and Scout better, I consider you both like big sisters that I never knew I needed before listening to the podcast. Love you both, Tamir. Love that.
Super
we love
sweet.
Hearing that you guys like us. So this one I thought was really – this is a kind of a longer email, but there was a lot of things in here that I think – we've been touching on the last couple episodes. So hello, Danielle and Scout. In episode 93, things got heavy, but it's always good to talk about mental health. Danielle asked to write in if we've ever felt suicidal. I've had thoughts of this since I was a teenager. I'm a 30-year-old male now. The reasons I can think of for this is low self-esteem, feeling alone, and questioning my gender identity. Mm-hmm. Scout is right. I'd be out with friends and you know, 1 second later, I just feel empty and alone in a room full of people. If this is too much for you, you can stop reading now. I've attempted 3 times, and I do feel lucky that I'm still here. I have found something in my life recently that has given my life meaning, so those thoughts are at bay. As for the conversation of how different people view sex, as someone who deep down sees themselves as a woman, I agree with Danielle that going down on a guy does not count as sex. I always saw sex as, in my case, the man and I having anal sex with me being the receiver. I did not want the guy to touch my penis, just pretend that it doesn't exist and treat me like a woman. I hope both parts of this wasn't too much or TMI in any way. I love you both and I appreciate the open minds that you two have and your willingness to learn. I thought that was really, like, I had never even thought about that.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like, oh, okay, so there's no interaction. Again, it's just me being curious, but it was like, oh, I love that we can have these conversations and be open about them. So it's not taboo. Mm-hmm. And it's not scary. like we're talking about God and religion and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't know, we're recording this episode on the day that the after the other God episode that we talked about came out. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what these are all things we're not supposed to talk about, Scout. We're not supposed to talk about sex.
I know, it's crazy.
We're not supposed to talk about religion. We're not supposed to talk
and
about
it. Look
anything.
At here. We're talking about it. We're going to talk about it. Oh, well, good. But no first judgment. Of all, good for you for being able to fight that dark tunnel and come out on the other side. I'm super, super, super happy about that. We, like I said, we love your stories and hearing all of you guys connecting with what we say. And
it's
learning
so weird
from
to
you.
Me. Does it feel weird to you? Like when it's like for years when people were talking about the sequel that we were both in.
Yeah.
And they would say stuff like, you know, you doing that movie really helped me get through PTSD.
Yeah.
And how there's really very few films that show the characters coming out on the other side of what happens when there's trauma and how we touched them and made a difference. And, you know, we both kind of like shrug it off. And you were doing that a little bit in the last episode of like, you see how well I take compliments? You're like, exactly.
Still
like,
learning.
You know, it's hard. It's really hard. So I think that it's important to know that there are people that we're impacting without feeling awkward about it or feeling like, oh God, I don't want to take the compliment because I don't want to have a big head or be perceived as like, we're saving people, because that's obviously not the case. But it does feel a little bit like, whoa, when someone comes up and has that conversation of like, you know, anything that makes you feel like you're, and, but at the same time, like if I'm explaining myself right, that's why we do this stuff. So to do it, but to not be okay with taking the compliment or have it be awkward to hear or not know how to receive. That's the best way to say it.
I think it's like also like I don't know how much to receive when it's talking about a character that I played.
Right.
I know how to receive it when it's like this. Like it's me. This is me. I'm talking about real things and my opinion. And when that stuff really helps people, I'm like, oh, fuck, this is really cool.
I mean, that's why we wanted to do the show, right?
Characters, I'm like, oh, but that's, it's exactly why we wanted to do it. But it's characters.
To stop talking about characters and start talking about us.
Because I can get it with characters in a sense, but I can't fully understand it because I'm playing someone.
Right, right.
But this is raw me. So I feel like, you know, everything I say is like, it's true. It's what I think. It's what I feel. So when it resonates with someone, I also don't feel fucking crazy. I also feel like, oh, fuck, okay, someone agrees with me.
Yay.
Or someone like, you know, someone gets me. I know this is nothing to do with the topic, but did you hear about this serial killer that is in Los Angeles right now?
I did not.
Apparently, it's happened to two models in the past week.
Yes, downtown LA, right?
Week or two, yes. And two models have wound up dead. And I was talking to my girlfriend Alice about it, and instantly my mind went to, oh, well, it's someone that's posing as a photographer.
Oh.
Like, I mean, because, you know, you're in LA and I'm around those people so many times that I know what it is. It's repetitive. It's like you meet a photographer, they come to your house and they need content, they need photos. And so I was like, it's definitely someone that is posing as a photographer that's coming to their homes and killing them.
I mean, I haven't seen how they were killed. I just saw a picture of the woman recently, the 30-year-old in downtown LA. But are there bodies like stabbed, murdered, shot? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, or are these overdose? Because my immediate thought was that's not like they're just getting attention because they're hot, beautiful women that are on Instagram. They're models. Like, how many people in downtown LA are die every day?
Apparently, they didn't know each other. So that's interesting. So it's just saying they were murdered in their, both of them are murdered in their separate apartments. It's not saying how they were murdered. I'm assuming that they are wanting to keep things really, really close.
Right, but they were for sure murdered.
Yes. For sure murdered.
I mean, couldn't it just be, but I guess they're saying like no forced entry kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
There haven't been any details about anything.
They're a year apart, and they're pretty, I mean, they're pretty similar.
Like physically?
Yeah. Mm. Like it's, and that it's been like a week, what is it, a week or two apart from one another in the same scenario, like in their apartment. Come on.
It's scary.
Yeah, it's really, really scary. I mean, anything that we learned from Tyler and stuff that he was talking about, I feel like we just need to not be so trusting, especially like you don't know someone. I'm hoping that this is someone that they didn't know. I'm hoping that this is not someone that's in the fucking LA scene, you know?
And right.
I think that especially like Los Angeles, everybody's so trusting with collaborating with one another and inviting them over and like for content share and trade right, and stuff right. And I'm like no, do not invite any fucking stranger to your house. What happened with like meeting at coffee shops? Like I don't understand, you right. know. Or like then you do meet someone and someone seems like super normal. I know I talk about this show all the time. You have to watch it. Have you seen me?
Yeah.
There was this guy that was killing men and he would pose as a contractor looking for, and he would meet them at a coffee shop looking for someone to come in and help him. And then he would fucking murder them. So like, you just don't know either. It's just so scary. It's so scary.
There's some crazy fucking people out there.
Dude, I'm like so shocked by all of it. I really am.
So we got another email that I wanted to read and I thought this was, speaking of, you never know when the last time you're going to see someone is. Hi, Danielle and Scott. I hope you're both doing great. Thank you for another amazing episode of your podcast. The time always goes so fast and I want another hour. I'm writing to you because I've also suffered with depression in the past. I'm always so sad to hear what people go through. It seems that each generation gets more and more challenging to figure it out. I'm sorry you both had the experiences that you've had. Danielle, that was incredibly unfair of your friend to do what he did. I'm sure all of the thought and feelings are ones that you've had many times. I was in a car accident just before I turned 15 and suffered a closed head injury. On top of that, my family left the town I grew up in and moved across the country near the end of my sophomore year of high school. I had two suicide attempts when I was in my early 20s. These are the only failures in my life that I was glad to have. I think the thing people don't seem to understand is that it is rarely about wanting to die. It is about wanting the hurting to stop and having no idea how to make it happen. You don't feel like you have value and are a burden on the world, so you don't reach out. It is very sad, really. If we looked after each other more, even just checking on people you care about from time to time, let them know that they're important to you, even if you don't talk often, I truly believe things could be different, and it only takes a moment to send someone a message. Whenever someone pops into my head, I reach out to them. It's amazing how often I hear things like, "I really needed this today." It took me less than 30 seconds to say, "Thinking of you, hope you're doing great." I feel very fortunate. I've found better ways to deal with life, and I am not happily in my early 50s. Ugh. There isn't a day that goes by where I don't realize how lucky I am to be at that point, and I try my best to do something every day that matters. To everyone out there, life is all ups and downs. Whatever is daunting today will be changed tomorrow, so get excited about change. Find little things to make you smile, Scott.
You drunk ass.
Did I read that already?
I read that.
You read that last week.
You were with Serena.
I was in the middle of it. I was like, I've heard this before and I've read this before. Well, you know what?
You drunk ass.
Maybe.
You drunk and hot ass.
I only had one drink.
I know. But you guys look like you were wasted.
I had literally one drink. But because I hadn't eaten.
I hadn't had anything. Yeah.
Any food. Day, yeah. Since like my half a power bar in the morning and God, you know, whatever, it was 8 o'clock or something. I was waiting forever for Serena because she got stuck in the fucking elevator. But yeah, I told you that, right? How she got stuck in the elevator. Yeah. In the middle, I was like, So
I know, but it's good, but it's an amazing message.
I mean, pick up the phone. Just that's it. So I did meet with, a writer. I won't say his name because he's worked on some of our friends' books. When I was at the last show, and I'm really thinking that I'm going to start memoir. Like I've been writing stuff for a while. I know you're doing your stuff, for Mortician's Daughter and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started to like, cause I usually take notes on my phone. And then I was like, now that I have my laptop, so for the first time, I actually like sat down on the airplane on the way home this weekend and like hammered out just stuff. just stream of consciousness stuff, you know, and it was interesting sort of putting things into categories of like beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Like, what's the, you know, what's the, because until now I didn't, you know, I was writing something when I was 32 and was working with a writer for a couple of months, and it turned out to just be not what I wanted. I think I wasn't ready to tell my story yet, nor did I feel like I had a story that anybody really wanted to hear. Mm. There was nothing really in my mind that was really all that interesting. Mm-hmm. And that particular book ended up feeling more like, I don't know, like a Hollywood tell all. Like the juicy parts of like what we cover podcast.
But now this is more personal and like,
oh yeah,
get into this, like the like nitty gritty of shit.
Completely. Yeah. The opposite of what of that. Of course, you know, those stories will be in there, but it'll be like relevant. It won't be for like, I think I have such a hard time with making it feel like I'm trying to market or what's the word? Like, like use the Hollywood to promote. You know what I mean? Like I so don't want anything to fucking do with Hollywood.
Yeah.
Or my story to have anything to do with Hollywood. I just want it to be about me throughout what my life was like. And it just so happens to be that I grew up in the business making movies. Like that's sort of the other thing. But it's it's fucking daunting. So what I'm hoping is sit down with my writer that I'm going to work with, and I just want to sit down for like, I have to like do it all or nothing. Just sit down for like a week and spend fucking 8 hours a day working on going through my story and just sort of putting the pieces together after the fact. I'm writing it, but he's helping guide me.
Okay.
It has to be in my words.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I don't want to get in the situation that I got into with the last one. So it's all me. It's just someone to help me sort of with the story. And if I don't sit down and just give it full attention, it's just never going to happen. It's going to sit in like random notes on my phone. When did you start your process on your book? And like when were you like, okay, I'm ready to do this?
Well, I had been sitting on the book idea since my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like such a long time. I think when I was trying to sell the show with Howie and it just wasn't going anywhere, I think is when I was like, and then I saw Gabrielle and all the success that she had with hers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, fuck. I was like, maybe I can do this. So I just tried a chapter and Tom really liked it.
No, I thought it was fucking great.
And then that was like the encouragement that I needed. Yeah. But I also like, I'm not doing a memoir. I mean, I'm doing based on. So it's like a little bit different. I still didn't have the balls to do what you're doing.
I don't think you don't have the balls. I think just you haven't, you don't have the ending yet to what your life looks like, is going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Maybe
that's
why.
There's just still so much. Maybe it's, I don't know.
I mean, that's what Serena wanted me to do, was a memoir. And I was like, no.
That's what I thought you were doing.
No.
And then when you started reading it, I was like, oh, wait. This is the tone is like something I'm watching.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, and I think like, all I say is take your time with it for sure, especially if it's your memoir. Like, take your time with it. And I think it's really great that you're working with a writer that will be able to kind of help you blueprint it out. And then you can take the time writing your chapters.
Right. Exactly.
I think
read you a little bit of my, this is like, just
don't read too much. Don't read too much on here.
I won't.
A minute.
You won't even be able to tell any part about it. I'll read like the first like three paragraphs. It's not gonna give you any taste of anything. This is what I was thinking. Where do I even start? There have been some obvious little ones that have been occupying a majority of my attention, not to mention this crazy thing we call life. Life in general has been considerable. There's not a correct word for what I've encountered thus far that seemed to stick in my head other than considerable. I remember many years ago telling Catherine, she's my therapist, that my life was always black or white and I just longed for some gray. Maybe that's why gray is my favorite color. It's right in the middle. Soft sometimes, like a yummy warm cashmere sweater, but can also be strong like marble or concrete. Albeit sometimes cold, it's still solid and smooth. That's where I find myself now. Thanks to my husband, David, my babies, Carter and Jagger. It hasn't always been like that, though. Our life has been a considerable amount of black and white. The outside world tests and tests. I sometimes feel like, I feel as well, I'm finding myself saying out loud, I'm just sitting here minding my business. Why is this happening? Is this some kind of karmic debt from a past life that I'm completely unaware of? Did I hurt people in this life unknowingly? Is this just part of God's plan and life lesson that I'm supposed to get this time around that I didn't learn during my last time I walked this earth? Why does this stuff keep happening? So that's sort of where I'm, you know.
That's how the book starts?
You don't
want
to make a whole, I mean, that's how it starts in my brain. I mean, yeah. So to back up, when in my 20s at 24, I hired a writer to write a script, just kind of like what you're doing, about growing up my life with my dad being dead and kind of how that was. And I don't think I was ready to, I didn't have the answers to my questions that I was wanting to explore in my story. So then it started to become a script because I didn't know how the ending would be. And then that kind of went by because, again, I think it was, I don't want to make, for me, I wanted to steer away from anything having to do with making it the opposite of what you're doing. I couldn't make it into something having to do with the business because it felt to me like I was hiding behind it at the time. But yet no one had known my story or anything that had happened, you know. I always thought that it was weird that no one ever asked me if I had a dad. Maybe these people had assumed that like the mom always brings you places.
Yeah, with the industry, yeah. I think so.
Because as kid actors, you'd pretty, I mean, I never saw anyone's dad, really.
There isn't really much, it's kind of odd when you would see the dad.
Well, usually like the moms were, a lot of the moms were divorced.
Yeah.
You know, and had like nothing else to do, but like, spend all their energy on trying to make their kid famous. Or, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there were like a considerable amount of those. But anyway, I'm just excited that I'm like fucking between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'm just going to start to get my head straight around what I want to do. And if nobody, good. If I never do anything with it, my most important thing is that I write it for my kids.
Yeah.
Because I wish I got
don't
to
give yourself a timeline though. Don't give yourself a timeline.
If I don't give myself a timeline, I won't
like work it out. But I feel,
oh yeah. I'm not gonna give myself a deadline. How about that?
Yeah, deadline. Yeah.
I don't have a deadline. Yeah.
I don't
have a deadline because it changes all the time.
Good.
I have a timeline of I want to start it here and I want to be done here. And then I can take as much time after the fact of working on, you know, working with an editor and finessing and doing all the things to really make it my own.
Yeah.
So, but.
That's exciting.
But you just got to pull that Band-Aid, you know. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm glad my mom is dead and, you know, the people being interested in this kind of stuff, you know. I mean, I see a lot of this, what happens in people's worlds as kid actors and, you know, just life in general. Look at all the shit going on now with Danny Masterson and like all the Hollywood kids coming out and like all of this. I don't know. It's just, it's fascinating to hear people that aren't in the business to hear kind of what that life was like for all of us.
No, I'm excited to read it.
Different, but the same.
Have you thought of like artwork and stuff like all of that?
No. I can't even get in. Like,
and you're probably going to have photos in there of you young too.
That's what I was actually thinking. Cool. Yeah. That's kind of the only thing was like sort of finding the
photos and stuff.
Yeah. Of friends and you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. It should be interesting. If anything, I mean, I just want to try to do something. I'd rather just sit down and try to do something and get my creative juices flowing while we have downtime before the new year starts.
I know.
Because then we're going to be making our movies. So
I know.
If you're ever here.
It's now. No, it's so funny because I told Tom, I was like, I'm taking January and February off. But I was like, but to focus on our movies.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Tom was like, fake, but that
for you just means not getting on a plane every 4 days.
And focusing on my book and our movies. Yes, I was like, that's it. That's all I'm doing in January and February. It's almost like, okay. All right.
And
okay.
And planning the rest of your wedding.
And then planning
my
wedding.
That's not going to take up any of your time going forward.
I know, but I feel like our shit's going to like, fuck, who knows? Maybe we'll release our books at the same time.
That would be amazing.
It'll be a double,
you know, we could do a Talk Scary to Me tour along with book signings for both of our stuff at stores.
I love it.
It's like we're so much alike, but we're so different.
Could you imagine? They'll be like, what are you guys doing together now?
I can't get rid of this bitch. Listen, everybody comes up to me and is like, where's your partner? Where's your partner? Where's your partner in crime?
Well, I kind of take like credit that I like Gabrielle inspired me to write. And I'm kind of taking credit that I kind of inspired you to write.
Yes, so. You totally did. Yes. No. You know, honestly, it was
showing us women that we could do it.
You know, it was seeing you sitting with your laptop, like you're reading from your laptop. And I was like, I always travel with my laptop, but it always stays in my bag. And it's only to like do emails and like work shit. It's never for creative stuff. It's always pen and paper or whatever. So I was like, I'm going to open up my laptop. And then I just was clicking on notes, looking at travel schedule. And I had seen when I had started this, I had started to write this when I had mastitis at Monster Mania, where I was in the original opening of like when I was like, I'm going to write a book. It was about Kane coming to like see me and like take me to the you know, after I got out of the emergency room, and how weird my life was, that like the guy who kills me on screen and
is helping you,
Jason Voorhees, is like, you know, taking me out of the hospital from almost dying from sepsis.
Crazy.
Super weird. Just a fucking weird life. So we haven't done 911 calls in a really long time.
Yeah.
And
I saved a bunch.
It is October, and
so we also, guys, FYI, we have a big announcement coming soon. And I think our next year.
We might already be announcing it before this episode airs.
You think?
I'm hoping.
Oh, hopefully.
Oh,
hopefully.
No, you know what? We'll probably announce it on Halloween. Right? Let's announce it on Halloween.
Probably, yeah. We should. But then when we announce it, we'll have more of a structure, and we're going to bring back our true crimes, because I miss them.
Yes, I know, me too.
I miss getting into like true crimes and stuff, but because we've been traveling so much, it's been fucking hard to get around.
There's been a lot of weird, creepy shit. There's been a lot of stuff that I've been watching on TV, and every time I'm like, oh my God, I gotta write that down. I gotta watch that. I gotta write that down. And then I just
don't. Like so much. Okay, so I saved a bunch. So let's just kind of go in order here and see. Oh my God, I saved so many. I saved so many. All right, I'm gonna turn this up. I've never done this with my little mic.
Oh, you know what? You should plug. David told me, he's like, you need to plug it into your Zoom. Can you plug your phone into the Zoom?
No.
Oh, crap.
I don't know how to do that. Unless I take the Zoom out of the wall. The Zoom plug.
I don't know.
I don't want to do that in the mid-episode. So we'll have to just learn how to do that.
Okay.
Let me know if you can't hear it. Because if you can't hear it, then they can't hear it. All right.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, sir, I need an ambulance to come to my house.
What's your address, ma'am?
I'm Gordon Road, Brunswick, Georgia, 31523.
What's the problem, ma'am?
I just killed my two kids.
What's your name, ma'am?
Julia Murray.
What is it?
Julia Murray.
You said you killed your two kids?
Yes, sir.
How old are they?
2 and 4.
How did you kill them?
I drowned in the...
Julie, are you with me?
No, myself.
You just shot yourself?
Yes.
With what?
A gun.
Okay.
Please hurry.
She shot herself.
I'm just trying to keep you in line with me until they get there. Is that okay? Will you talk to me? Julia. Julia, can you hear us? Is your door open? Will we be able to get in?
Oof.
Nothing.
911, what's the address of the emergency? Hello?
Yeah, my name is Robert Fisher.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Robert.
Okay. I'm at 46 West Street in Butchville. A man just assaulted me. I shot him.
Okay, I hear you. Are you injured?
I just, my face is bleeding a little bit.
Okay.
I don't need medical assistance.
Can you repeat your address for verification?
Yeah. I'm at 46 West Street in Litchfield.
What did he say happened to him?
He shot someone. Someone assaulted him, and he shot someone.
The assailant, where is he right now?
He's lying on his back on the pavement. Mm-hmm. He's bleeding.
Okay.
I shot him in the head.
Oh.
In the head? Okay.
Shot him in the head.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Are you by yourself right now?
I am, yes.
Right, oh, God, that feeling.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, my face is swollen and hurt.
Okay. All right. I hear you.
Nothing. Not as serious as him.
He's being assaulted, assuming being mugged.
Hmm. I can't hear it.
Is bleeding serious for him?
I'm sorry, what?
Is the bleeding serious for him?
I'm sorry, is the bleeding what?
Serious for him?
Yeah, he shot him in the head.
Yeah, he's not, well, he's breathing somewhat.
Okay.
I guess the question is he alive or dead?
Yeah.
Not serious.
Did you hear, there's a, I can't hear it very well. Did you hear that there's a new law in California that shop owners cannot go after people that have robbed
them? I heard that.
That they're going to be fined?
So crazy.
For the incident?
So you're just supposed to like go.
That's it.
I mean, I guess it's better to do that than get fucking killed and shot, like having to, you know. I think it's better when someone comes into like a convenience store and tries to rob the place.
Let them have it.
Don't do anything. Peace. I'm going to fucking step back while you do this. I'm not going to stop you.
What are you supposed to do, though?
I mean, unless there's like a fucking gun pointed at you or something, but a lot of the times now, like even like these Nordstrom's and all these stuff that are getting, like, just don't do anything. But it's like, there's nothing that you're going to be able to do to stop them. And also like put yourself in danger, I feel.
Right. But I mean, if it's a mom and pop shop, you know what I mean? If it's like someone's jewelry store and they're, someone's coming in and stealing like millions of dollars worth of stuff.
Is your life worth more?
Worth the money?
It's like, my life is worth so much more. All right, let's see.
Emergency.
Yes, I need a police officer over here at
court. Well, what's going on?
I've got two teenage daughters, and I just got home from work. They were physically fighting with each other, and one of them kicked a hole in a door. And they're 12 and almost 14, and the 12-year-old is completely out of control, and I can't. Physically, if she's as big as I am, I can't control her.
Okay, did you want us to come over and shoot her? Are you there?
Excuse me?
That's a joke. Okay, so...
What is your name, Mike Corbett? Okay, that's not funny, Mike.
I'm
going to file a formal complaint.
I don't blame you a bit.
Hey, because you know what? This is really not very funny.
I know it's not, ma'am.
Guess what? It's not going to be very funny when I go in front of your supervisor and tell him.
I understand.
I guess he can just listen to the tape.
Yes, he can. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Hold on.
Hold on. 911,
what is your emergency?
Oh, my God.
Wait. Good. In case people can't hear that, explain exactly what just happened on that 911 call.
So the mom called because her 12-year-old and 14-year-old were fighting, and she physically could not get them to stop. And the 12-year-old was out of control, and she was afraid that they were going to hurt each other or whatever. And so the officer says a snarky remark and says, what do you want me to come over and shoot him? Are you kidding me? What the fuck? No, could you imagine,
like,
Danielle?
No, I fucking need help.
Yeah.
I'm calling because I need help.
Well, have you heard, did I talk about this? Yes, I think I did talk about this. I think a lot of like officers are now getting in trouble for shit that they should be getting in trouble for, which is great for those officers that are fucking assholes. But the one officer that I guess a dispatch, like an officer hit a pedestrian, like a woman, a young 22-year-old woman.
I think I saw that, yeah.
And then some person went,
I saw that.
We hit one of them. Just a normal.
It was just a normal, yeah.
Was she like laughing and joking about it.
She bounced about, she bounced about up in the air, not 20 feet though. It was something like that, right?
Yeah. Like they were joking about it, about hitting this innocent 22-year-old pedestrian who was in crossing at a crosswalk when the police officer was responding to a call. And it wasn't the police officer that hit him. It was a dispatch that heard.
Mm.
And it was like laughing and joking with the other officers.
Wow.
What the fuck? That is crazy. But that shit like happens. All right. Oh, I don't know if we want to listen to a 9/11 one.
Oh, no.
Okay. No.
No. No. Nope. I'm going to New York City Comic Con.
Woo! Oh, you were Tom?
I'm not, I've never been before.
Oh my God, with Peter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Tom's going.
Oh, what day is Tom going?
Tom's going because
day?
I don't know. I think he's going for a couple of days.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, because
I'm just going to be at a, John Carpenter's going to be there.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm just going to be in a booth, at a vendor's booth. I know he's going Saturday and I'm going to be there Thursday, Friday. I've never been before.
It's going to be so fun.
Like the real deal. I was like, there's like movie stars going to be there. I've never been to like a real Comic-Con
San Diego. I'll tell Tom because he like knows Ewan and Hayden and all those, or I don't know if Hayden's there, Ewan and all those people that are going to,
we're
going to be there. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I haven't been to New York since before, into the city since before COVID.
That's like, that's the weekend right before Scarefest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I fly back on that weekend or else I was going to go.
Oh God. Maybe you'll get done early.
Yeah, maybe I'll get done early.
You come to New York City.
And I can't go.
I'm gonna be going with my neighbors. both sets.
Oh my God, they're going?
They're going. They've never been to New York before.
Oh, that's funny. That is so funny. Like,
let's do it. So I'm planning all the New Yorker stuff, all the restaurants and all the pastrami spots, and got my tickets to the Museum of Natural History, got Broadway tickets, like all that, you know, that cheesy stuff that you don't do when you're just by yourself. Like Leslie, my neighbor, wants to go to Serendipity to have an iced hot chocolate, like, you know.
Oh, heck yeah.
All of the New York stuff. I was like, oh, we got to go back. We got to go back like once the holidays, but October in New York City, fantastic.
Oh my God, I love it.
Can't wait. Again, this episode's going to be after the fact, but I'll have been there. But I'm literally, what's your schedule now? So you're there.
Guys, we're going to figure out my schedule right now. We're going to figure out my schedule.
Oh, wait. Do you want to know what I heard this morning? Just looking through Instagram.
What?
That Texas has a law against dildos for pleasure. Apparently, like, it is against the law to own
a vibrator,
sex toys, and only if they are used for a novelty, not for pleasuring oneself. And then someone else said, like,
I'll
post the article. I was like, what the fuck is this? Hold on. Okay. Against public. Okay, here it is. Chapters. I can't see the little thing there. Okay. Against public order, decency chapter, whatever, public indecency, which outlines laws regarding prostitution, pornography, and more. Section 43.23 in particular outlines rules around what are known as obscene devices, which are defined as a dildo or artificial vagina designed or marketed as useful primarily for the stimulation of human genital organs. Beyond the restrictions around the number of adult toys a Texan can legally own or sell, I think the law was like you can own six, but they have to be for novelty. You can't own more than six. If you own seven, it's against the law. And it again, reported back in 2004, a Dallas area Joanna Webb faced up to a year in prison and for a $4,000 fine after throwing a Tupperware-style sales party for adult items, also known by the brand name Passion Parties.
Oh my God.
She got a year in, up to a year in jail for having sex toys at a party.
This is also the place where you can't get an abortion, so I fucking believe it. That's crazy.
It's crazy.
What the hell? So you're going to jail?
I'm going to jail.
You're going to jail?
I'm fucking going to jail. You know, I had this thought, like, could you imagine, like, you're coming home from,
yeah,
like, a vacation.
Arrested for, sir?
Exactly. And they, like, look at my bag. They're like, open up your bag, man. We think you have contraband. And they, like, unzip my suitcase. And there's, like, 6 vibrators and 3 dildos and a butt plug. And they're like, ma'am, are these yours? And I look at David and he's like, they're mine, officer. And he takes the heat for me because he loves me that much. And he goes to jail for me because those are he doesn't want me to have that on my record.
What a brave thing for a husband to do. Have you planned this out? I think we're going to have to end the episode because I have I have a vacuum going on outside of my room right now. Yeah, that's what's happening right now. Apparently they're vacuuming the hallway.
55 minutes in.
3 in the afternoon.
I love it.
3 in the afternoon. My God,
they're like,
crazy.
We don't want to do it at 3 in the morning when you bitches are sleeping.
Yeah. So, but also I have not gotten my Postmates that I ordered about an hour and a half ago. That is nuts. What the fuck?
Well, they should have Postmates.
It's right down the street.
Hilarious. Oh my God. Go eat.
I will.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining this random fucking conversation we had today. just to be a fly on the wall.
Yes.
And happy Tuesday. It's getting very close to Halloween. Very close to Halloween.
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday, guys.
Scarefest. Bye. Spooky Empire. Go buy your tickets, guys. Love you.
Yes, go buy your tickets.
Bye.